Regional banks are done. Canceled. Over. PacWest is down another 50% today. That is 90% since March, after a rumor last night that they were considering selling themselves, and an overnight statement from PacWest that they have been approached by several potential partners and investors and are evaluating all options to maximize shareholder value. That is not what investors want to hear. Another regional bank, First Horizon, dropped 37% today last night. They said that their acquisition by TD Bank was no longer on the table. TD wasn't sure when and if they'd be able to get regulatory approval for that deal, which would have made the Canadian-based TD Bank the sixth largest bank in the U.S. All of these regional banks are down this morning. Shares of Western Alliance Bank Corp down 45%. That's 74% since March. Comerica 57% since March. Zions Bank Corp 57%. Meanwhile, the big banks keep getting bigger. JP Morgan took over First Republic on Monday, and while banks are failing, the U.S. government is also running out of money. Literally, the current debt ceiling won't let the government issue new debt. It's like a government bank run, and when it's gone, they won't have enough money to pay the bills, like interest, military salary, payments to bondholders, that sort of thing. Today on Dumb Money, what does it all mean to you, and our take on how we can all survive an imploding financial system. You're listening to the Dumb Money Live podcast.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Chris Jordan, we've said it before, no bank can survive a bank run. Of course, all of this around the Silicon Valley Bank collapse started it all. We know that Signature Bank collapsed too. No regional bank is safe, but could this be a perfect storm? Bank failures and the government's own bank running on empty.
Yeah, listen, banks are a confidence game. We never really saw them like that, but they've always been a confidence game. This just happens to be the first time in a long time when people started running out of confidence.
Yeah, they've been put to the test, you know, and that's really why the FDIC even exists. But they put this $250,000 cap, which sounded like a lot probably when they put it in place. But now it seems like the simple fix would be just raise it, right?
Okay,
I don't know, right? Because so there's two things going on. One is the confidence game, in that, you know, basically most businesses can't operate with, you know, that little capital, right? And so businesses for sure need to be able to have more than $250,000 for the working capital. But the other issue is that this highlighted the fact that you're not getting paid to keep money in a bank. So you might as well, if you want to have some sort of liquid cash or something like that, open a money market fund. And so I think a lot of people are doing that because those don't have the same downside risk that you have in a checking fund, but you get the interest rate upside, especially right now with rates on those funds at 4-5%.
Banks cannot survive any bad news right now. The second one piece of bad news comes out, the bank run starts. And once it starts, it does not stop. Why would it stop? Why would anybody risk over $250,000 in any bank account right now? There's not a single bank in the world that I'm aware of that would survive a bank run once it starts. And what we've seen is that once one regional bank goes down, the next weakest bank goes down. And there is no stopping it without the government simply coming out and saying that we're going to enforce a system-wide deposit guarantee. It's that simple. But here's the worst part. They are guaranteeing the deposits, but they're only guaranteeing them after the bank goes down. So the government is still spending all the money to guarantee the deposits. They're just not saying it. So bank after bank is going down.
Yeah, I mean,
no reason. It's a lose-lose scenario.
They do until they don't. We saw this in 08. They backstopped the first, you know, few financial crises. And then as the crises expand, they stop backstopping. So I don't agree with that.
That was different, George. That was backstopping investors.
But it was part of the same type of problem.
So are you, let me ask you a question. Do you believe that there is any point in the next year or two that the government will allow a regional bank to go down and just say, nope, we're not backstopping any of those deposits, and we actually have grandmas losing money at a U.S. bank?
Grandmas don't lose money. Most grandmas don't have more than $250,000.
Some do.
But by now, yeah, they might, right? So I don't disagree with that. But by now, you've had, what, you know, several months to prepare for this. And at a certain point, you're like, hey, you should know better. It's been blasted on every newspaper, every single news program, that you shouldn't have more than $250,000 in a single bank. And so you should be either diversifying it across banks or putting some money into money market funds where you actually get some sort of return. And at some point, I think the government just says, you know, no. I mean, you know, but the first...
Jordan, don't you think people should know better not to fall for Nigerian phishing scams on the internet? And here we are losing hundreds of millions of dollars a year to those, too. The question is, do you believe that the government would actually allow, in the next few years, any regional bank to fail and not back up depositors? I don't believe they would do that.
Above the FDIC limit, yes, 100%. I think that should happen.
I'm not saying it shouldn't happen. I just don't believe it will happen. So if they're not going to... If they're going to continue to backstop depositors every time this happens, why not just say they're going to do that and it won't happen? It's crazy, Dave, right?
I mean, but that's a whole policy change. You'd have to...
It's politics.
It all comes down to politics. Would be a major political thing for them to... I don't even know who would say it. Would it be the Treasury? Would it be the FDIC? Would it be the Fed? Who's going to be the one who says, if any of those people just said, don't worry about it, we've got you covered, I don't think that we would have any issue with the bank runs continuing. And I think that these small regional banks would just be like, oh, it's totally safe again because someone magically said it's going to be safe.
This is all happening for absolutely no reason. There's literally not a single one of these banks needs to go down. And every time they go down, we're having new people on. Hey, maybe it's for the best. Maybe we don't need all these regional banks. I don't know.
I don't know if it's better to have regional banks or...
Isn't the argument for regional banks that they provide lending in local markets the way that big banks wouldn't? That seems like a very outdated thing, right? Because I'm pretty sure that my local JP Morgan branch can do local lending for my local restaurant, right?
But all that's happening out of this is JP Morgan, Wells Fargo, Citigroup, they're just getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and they're essentially becoming a pseudo national bank. Like, and by the way, try doing business with one of those banks as a small or medium-sized business. It's literally impossible. It's insane.
Well, this that right there is the argument for having a regional bank, right? That is the only argument I can see, is if it is too difficult for a small mom-and-pop business to bank with a mega bank, and you have this local branch in your community of a much smaller regional bank, is that it? That's who needs these?
I'm conflicted because I love the concept of regional banks because we desperately need them to actually engage with business owners. On the other hand, I'm so sick of them taking over every single corner spot in my neighborhood. They don't need to have 8,000 branches in like a 10-mile radius. So maybe...
Remember when every corner had a gas station? Now every corner is a bank. That has been going on for probably 20 years, but... In our neighborhood, if you drive down any of the major streets, you'll see 7 banks within a 2-minute drive.
My favorite Wells Fargo closed down in Snyder Plaza, and within 3 months, they opened up a regional bank. Come on. That's probably not going to happen for a while, right? Because of this.
That thing was an old gas station, wasn't it?
The
second it closed down, I contacted the New York owner of that building and got a 4-month option. We were going to open up a restaurant there, but we couldn't figure out the parking ratio. So we lost it. But so here's the thing. This will not, give me a scenario where this ends without the government saying that they're going to enact a systematic deposit guarantee, which is what they should have done months ago. Is there a scenario, Jordan, where they don't do that and this doesn't continue to collapse bank after bank after bank?
Yeah, rates go down. So if rates, if long-term rates go down, then yeah, I mean, at that point, you don't have these problems with the hold-to-maturity assets, and the banks are liquid, right? So
Okay.
I mean, look, so this is a problem of interest rates.
Fair.
Raise the rates at the fastest in history, and you're going to break things, and so they broke things.
But the rates cannot possibly go down that quick, that hard to fix this problem in the next 6 to 9 months, right?
They certainly can. I mean, look, so you get an emergency Fed come out and say, oh, we're breaking too much stuff, and they cut to zero, all of a sudden.
They're not going to cut to zero. Come on. The only way
it's,
that happens.
It's such a delicate balance. They are like, they're so focused on inflation that there's no way they're going
to
touch interest rates.
Although, see mass layoffs,
we might finally see a pause in interest rates.
They break things a little bit too hard. You get like, let's say you get like five of these regional banks go under in a single weekend, and like you start to see mass panic. Yeah.
Haven't we already basically seen that? We've seen mass panic.
No,
we've seen.
No. You haven't seen mass panic yet. People are still, I mean, the S&P is over 4K. Like, I mean, there's no panic yet. There's no, you've seen full panic. Yeah,
I've seen people panicking at the disco. I've seen people panicking at the bank teller line trying to get all their money out of these regional banks. Even the grandma with less than 250K is like, oh, I can't pay my rent if I don't have cash. And if I have to deal with writing a letter to the FDIC asking for my money back, that can take months.
Micro scale. That's panic. That's local panic. You see nationwide fears pop up. Then, yeah, I think you see the Fed cut.
You're listening to the Dumb Money Live podcast.
This episode is brought to you by La Quinta by Wyndham. Your work can take you all over the place, like Texas. You've never been, but it's going to be great because you're staying at La Quinta by Wyndham. Their free bright side breakfast will give you energy for the day ahead. And after, you can unwind using their free high-speed Wi-Fi. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book your stay today at LQ.com.
So, guys, I sent you an article earlier. I don't know if you read it, but there is a scenario where I could see them dropping rates to zero. So this report that the Council of Economic Advisors, which I believe that is basically just the White House. It's a political organization, right? Like in the White House. But they have this scenario where the debt default, let's get into that, where if the debt default is prolonged, like if it gets prolonged, and we actually go on like weeks and weeks after the deadline, and we have massive government layoffs because of it. They're claiming, and I think it's a fear tactic, that the market, the White House came out and said that the market will fall 45%, okay? So in that scenario, yes, I could see them dropping.
So I don't know about that. I don't know about that, right? Because so you're just...
It's fear-mongering.
I think it is fear-mongering, right? Because the government wants to keep the government huge, but the government's only 6% of GDP, right? And so does that equate to a nearly 50% drop in the stock market to lose out on 6% of GDP? By the way, probably the most unproductive 6% of GDP that we have. I think it'd be good if the government shrank, but that's another video.
Yeah. So... I do not have any regional. I did have that one MTB. I had that one regional bank that we covered on our show. I'm out of that now. Like I don't have any. I don't have any banks. Period. I even sold my Schwab, and I even sold JP Morgan, not for any reason other than I needed cash for other investments I'm in. But at some point, this problem will resolve. It's either going to resolve, yes, from interest rates coming down, or just over time. As these bonds, these longer or midterm dated bonds come due and they're able to flip out into higher interest rate bonds, the problem will resolve, or the government comes out and essentially says that there's a systematic deposit guarantee. When that day happens, when it happens, I am going so hard into a couple of the regional banks that are left standing, if there are any, and also Schwab, and also Charles Schwab, okay? I cannot wait to get back into some of those, but I'm going to wait until the end. There's no reason to play around now, right? Like, can you see any reason to be in these today? I don't see.
No, I mean, we've seen, and it's crazy, we've seen these stocks that were down 75% drop another 50% overnight. So there's no reason to catch a falling knife. Is that the weird stock market term?
Yeah.
There's no reason for that.
You could cruise into, yeah, I mean, so the things you want to look for then would be, you know, like the regional banks. You could buy insurance companies and things like that that are also getting smoked by this. There's a lot of places to go.
Would you say, Jordan, that is going to be the most obvious? I mean, that's a trade that you have to be on like that. Like the second it resolves,
yeah,
that
is the only issue with trying to jump into like regional banks is that do we have potential legislation coming out that's going to make the banking sector become less profitable, right? Because of whatever regulation comes out of this, right? So you get a bunch of, you know.
Okay, so let's just say theoretically, Jordan, there is a systematic backstop, a guarantee, but
that's not free, right? So the banks are going to have to pay for that backstop,
yeah,
right? Or it's more actual reserve banking is if they spread it out. And so they're going to have to spread out, these loss provisions and all these things to all the banks. So it's going to become even less profitable to run a bank.
Okay, agreed.
Then they bring back banking fees.
What's that?
Remember when you used to have to pay banking fees? That's the answer. Instead of making money off of your money, they're going to have to make money off of fees.
Technically, when you are paying a fee to the bank, even if you have zero fee on your checking account, your fee is your opportunity cost on, you know, putting into a...
Yes.
Dude, these banks pay no interest, Dave.
Exactly. And all the major banks are still paying 0.0%, right? It's just,
so in
it's
a
just
way,
the small Apple, banks that are...
Apple was part of what I think drove the problem this last week. Apple and their widely publicized 4.35% rate. At some point...
$1 billion of deposits into Apple's savings account product in just the first week.
But here's what I think is happening. Yes, some money is going into Apple. There is so much media around, yes, Apple's 4.3% rate that everybody now knows that you can get 4 to 4.5% on your money. So everyone's like, wait a second, how much money do I have at Wells Fargo? Well,
that was the point that I was making earlier. It's not just bank runs from fear. It's that you have a bunch of people that were woken up because of this crisis. They're like, hey, wait a minute. I've got like $50,000 in a checking account. I'm not worried about it going away. I'm worried that I'm not getting any interest on that.
Yeah. It's not good for banks in general because they have been really fortunate for a long time to get away with paying people nothing on their money. And people are just like, oh, that's just kind of what it is, right? It's what it is. Yeah, that party's kind of over. So it should be interesting to see how that plays out. However,
unless the Fed cuts rates back down to zero, and then there's not as big of an incentive to rush out into money markets, right?
But it's going to be, when do you see rates getting back to zero or near zero? Five years?
I think it's when they break enough things that then they freak out and have to overreact. That's the problem with the Fed, is that they push things into the wrong direction too far, and then they've got a course correct, which they overcorrect, right? So we saw them overcorrect out of the COVID crisis by just piling money into the economy, creating all of this inflation, right? And so now they're course correcting by going too far with interest rates and breaking regional banks. And so then they'll have to course correct eventually again.
That's the whole problem with our financial system. Where are my Bitcoin bros at? I'm not getting any comments from Bitcoin bros who say, that's the problem with having a Fed that can just like artificially manipulate things. And that's the problem with the fractional reserve banking system that lets you leverage out and make money out of thin air. I mean, that's the problem.
Making money out of thin air is what makes the economy go around. So it's the credit theory of money. And that's how the economy works, right?
And there's no one better at lending than these regional banks that are happy to create funny money out of thin air to let you buy a house or start a business, and they collect all those fees and interest.
Yeah.
Okay, speaking of Bitcoin bros, is there a more genius marketing move that was made this year than this guy Blasi, who basically lost $1 million bet because he said that Bitcoin was essentially going to go to $1 million, which he knew it wasn't going to go to him. It was a publicity stunt to basically get attention for either good or selfish reasons. It doesn't even matter. It was genius. It worked. He spent $1 million. He knew he was going to spend $1 million. He ended the bet a month early. He had 90 days. He just ended it a month early, paid out the $1 million. He now has way more followers, way more attention. He's all of a sudden an even bigger, voice in that world than he was 3 months ago. Beautiful $1 million marketing campaign to this guy, right? The fact that so many people actually thought that he thought that Bitcoin was going to go to $1 million in 90 days is just so stupid. Like, I can't, like, but he knew that people would think that, right? And it was going to get attention. And, like, I just, yeah. I love it. From a marketing standpoint, I love it. I don't know, guys. I don't want to talk too much about crypto. I think we get crypto hate on this show when we do, but I think it's just.
But you can't deny that Bitcoin is up 75% year to date, and every regional bank is essentially out of business.
Well, let me ask you guys one more question. What do you think about this debt limit thing? Like, how do you think it's going to play out? Like, I've been trying to game this thing, and I just can't personally figure it out. Like, I don't think it's going to go into this prolonged 4 to 8 week government shutdown, but I do think it could go into a multi-day to maybe 1 week shutdown. And if it does, I think that's actually probably the most likely scenario. The next most likely is that they figure it out right at the deadline.
Isn't that what they always do? Don't they always just happen to solve it just at the last minute?
No, they've shut down before. The problem with the shutdown, though, is that they don't actually save any money, right? So they send everybody home. Right. And so then those people are furloughed and aren't getting paid. But then they always pass a bill to do back pay for all these government employees. So it ends up just costing even more money.
It's just, yeah, they're just pausing payments.
So here's the deal, guys. I think we have to all be realistic. And as investors and followers of this channel, we have to understand that there is some short term tail risk with this. With this debt limit, and it's going to last a few weeks. So this is not a great time to be levered. It's a time to be careful. There is a possibility that we can get extreme market volatility over the next few weeks going into this debt limit deadline on June 1st. I am just taking a close look at my account, and I want to make sure I'm properly hedged. I'm not over leveraged. This is a kind of a time to chill out for a few weeks and not do anything drastic. I don't think it's going to be a catastrophe. I think they're going to figure it out. And you're right, Jordan. Even if they shut it down for a week, week and a half, they end up paying everybody after that. I also do think that they're comfortable shutting it down for a few days to 1+ weeks because of what's happened in the past. And that's why I think it is likely to happen again. And
yeah, that's the problem. So, these people just use this stuff for political leverage.
Yeah,
I don't even get it. Don't both sides want the debt ceiling to be raised?
No, Dave.
The Republicans want to have some promised cuts in spending if we allow it to be raised, and the Democrats are "Well, we need to raise it so we can spend more." Right. Both sides want it to be raised. It's just they don't agree on how to spend the money. And this debt ceiling is an artificial way to limit purchasing power of the government.
You're listening to the Dumb Money Live podcast.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Dave, it's leverage. Dave, it's a leverage tactical move. The GOP raised it, what, 3 times during the last administration when they had the ability to do so and they were in the White House. So, like, it's just a tactical move, which is why I think it will play out. It will get resolved. Don't freak out too much, but don't be over-levered for the next few weeks. By the way, I'm not in Crocs anymore. I was barely in Crocs during that earnings call, by the way. Sorry, I know that was random, but I saw the question. Guys, so are you doing anything the next few weeks with your accounts because of this situation with either the deteriorating banking situation that I think is likely, more likely than not, to get worse, right? And then we have this perfect storm of a debt ceiling issue. Guys, it could get really rough the next few weeks, or if we can resolve these two issues, which I do believe there's a pretty decent chance that there will be some resolution over the next few weeks to couple months, don't you think that is going to potentially set the market on fire in a positive way? So we need to be prepared when that happens.
I'm always prepared for the stock market to be on fire.
I mean, that's what no one's thinking of. Like, yes, we are down and out. It's very dark right now. It's very scary. We have these insane headlines every single day. But when we get over that, and we know we will get over that, I think there's a huge opportunity. I think I actually might take off my hedge for the first time in almost, what, 9 months? 8-9 months?
Yeah.
I'm preparing to fully take off my hedge, or at least the majority of my hedge, hopefully in the next couple months, if both of these issues resolve themselves. I'm excited about that because my hedge is really expensive. For those of y'all that are not aware, I'm hedging a good part of my portfolio with just SPY and QQQ short position. But the cost to borrow money right now to put that hedge on is insane. Like, it's not what it used to be, 2.5%, 3%. I think I'm probably paying 7.5%. I don't know. I haven't even checked. I don't even want to know. I don't even want to know.
But the money that you, it's kind of, right? Because also you get the dollars from that short position, and that earns money.
Well, I don't get the dollars.
It offsets a little bit, right? I don't think it offsets 100%. I think it offsets someone.
But not the market's not falling. I could I could just break even on my short position. Then I still have to pay the interest to borrow the money to put the short position on. So I'm kind of getting screwed, and I'm sick of it. Like, I want to take that short off. I saw way too much tail risk in the market right now. And this is the type of thing that I want to talk about on this show, because people that are having a hard time sleeping at night because of all these things happening, you know there's a lot of volatility the next few weeks. You know there's a lot of tail risk the next few weeks. But you have stocks that you have long-term gains on, like me and Amazon, that you don't want to sell because you don't want to take the tax hit, because the tax hit will destroy you. So what the hell do you do? For me, I'm basically hedging that with just a short position in the general market, right? But it's expensive to do, but it's something that anybody can do by simply shorting an equivalent amount of, like, in, you know, SPY or QQQ, whichever one better represents the stocks that you're in. And you could go into more of a narrow ETF, right? Jordan, you've done that in the past, where if you're all in retail, you can short a retail ETF, right?
Yeah. So you can do sector shorts, right? So XRT for the retail, XLE for energy. I mean, there's one for every sector. I was short XLE.
But if someone's watching right now and saying, why don't you just short Amazon while you're long Amazon, you need to understand there's something like called, there's a tax provision called like a circular position that the brokerage house.
You can't do that directly. You can do that with puts. You just can't, in the same account, you can't short.
Yeah, you can't short the stock and be long the stock, but you can buy puts on Amazon or Tesla or those volatile stocks that you want to be long in long term, but you want some protection short term.
So what I do, I'm okay buying puts. And I did buy puts on Amazon during this past earnings, but I don't like owning puts these days for more than a few days.
Yeah.
Because the premiums are still really expensive on options, guys. So that can get really expensive, even more expensive than the borrowing cost of shorting an equivalent amount of an exchange traded fund or an index. So it just, these are hedging tactics that I want everyone watching this show just to be aware of. We're not financial advisors, by the way. We're just sharing what we're doing. So guys, please do your own research and make your own decisions for your own portfolio and speak to a financial advisor if you need to.
Speaking of hedging and potential market news, Richard notes that Apple could crash the market even more tonight as they have their earnings coming out.
I don't know. I'm worried. It's an expensive stock right now, but do you think they're doing poorly? I doubt it.
I'm worried. I'll tell you why I'm worried. I'm worried for two reasons. One, I looked at the Similarweb traffic. It's not terrible, but it's showing just enough deterioration the last few months to make me a little bit worried about Apple. I'm also worried that the news leak that they're going to announce a new pretty significant buyback and dividend program. And I'm worried that the reason they're doing that is to try to kind of compensate for what could be a down quarter. We've seen that in the past. I'm actually considering buying some puts on my Apple position for the next, just for earnings, to protect that. Because I am worried about Apple. Also, let me just say something that made me physically sick last night. I was up till like 2:30 in the morning, like I am almost every night, researching stocks and just pulling data every single night now. And what I've been doing this week is I will go through every single company that has earnings that like 2 days from now, and I will pull data on almost every company that I think where data is important. And I pull lots of different data, right? I pull web traffic, I pull G trends, I look at just lots of stuff. So I pulled data on Shopify. There were 1,000 earnings reports today. I pulled data on Shopify last night because I had missed it 2 days ago. Oh, my guys, the data was so extraordinary on Shopify.
It was like 12% today or something.
No, Jordan, my heart stopped. I literally said,
front. Oh my gosh.
I said, how did I miss this? I am going to kill it tomorrow on Shopify. I am going in so heavy on Shopify. I was literally going to call you guys at 2:30 in the morning and wake you up to tell you about this trade. And then I went back to the earnings calendar and I saw that earnings were before market. It is insane that in 2023, you can look at data and so easily see that a company is going to destroy earnings, and yet the market as a whole didn't see it. And it's exactly what happened. Like, guys, I don't think people realize how easy it is to do this stuff. You just have to look at everything. It takes a lot of time to sift through massive amounts of data like web traffic and G trends. But when you find a move like I saw on Shopify, I was like 95% confident they were going to crush this morning. And they did. Dude, I would have made $1 million today. If I would have just done that 2 days ago, I'm telling you, I would have made $1 million this morning on Shopify.
Yeah,
I'm so pissed off right now.
I'm mad that you didn't call me yesterday about this one, not at 2 in the morning.
No, I did, because I checked these companies 2 days ago, but there were so many, I must have missed Shopify in the list, because I'm just scanning the list, right? Last night was a rescan. It was a rescan. I want to take a closer look at the list, make sure I didn't miss anything. I was like, oh, I don't think I pulled Shopify. I pulled it. I was like, and then I remembered, I was like, oh my gosh, I think they do morning earnings at Shopify. And I was right. They do morning. I was like, and it was too late.
Do you know what else you missed? You missed the destruction of Chegg. And that is what we're going to be talking about in our next video. So if you're watching right now, just stick around. You should automatically be forwarded to it. If not, go find it. It should be on the screen here. All right.
Yeah, watch this next episode, because if we're able to survive the banking collapse and the debt ceiling, the debt ceiling terror, if we survive that, we have a much, much bigger problem on the horizon. And that's what we're going to talk about in this next episode. Guys, this is a big, big problem. And we're going to talk about the companies, the sectors that are likely to get potentially destroyed by AI and ChatGPT. And we didn't quite miss Chegg Day because we talked about it, but we didn't pull the trigger on the trade. I'm pissed about that too.
No, but we're not going to miss the next one. And you're going to find out which stocks we're looking at next.
And